course, for all being here this morning, and thank you for your continued prayer and helping us all out through the year. We are so close to the end of the year. It's just incredible, and it's going by so quickly. This morning, as we take a look at Scripture, we're going to look at a couple of things, but I'm going to give you, we're going to have our memory verse in just a second, but I'm going to then give you a lament. Now, everybody knows what a lament is, sort of, kind of. It's kind of a complaining kind of thing. So I want you to bear with me after we listen and speak the Scripture together. So this is our memory verse for the month, which is found in your bulletin. Oh, there we go. Nice. Okay. So here we go. We say a Scripture reference, then we say the verses together, and then we say the Scripture reference. Here we go. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 12:33. Thank you. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is present with us today. And Lord, as we look at your word, help us to learn some new things about you, grow in you, and then be able to take some of these things away and share them with others as we live the abundant life in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you can look on your bulletin. We got an outline there this morning, but I know many of you at least have started shopping for Christmas. Anybody finish? Okay, we've got a couple that have finished. Very good. And I suppose some people are getting travel plans ready. We're certainly going to be heading out after Christmas Eve for a time with Stacy's mom down in Georgia and stuff. But it's been dubbed as the most wonderful time of the year, hasn't it? So again, I want you to bear with me for a few moments as I lament about the season. And as I do that, I want to see if you can relate to some of the things that I lament about. So there are three things that go by the name of Christmas. One would be a religious festival, which is what Christians celebrate. That would mean that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is important. It's important for us Christians, but it really is no particular interest to anyone else. I mean, if you don't believe in Jesus, you know, there's not a big deal to the religious festival part of it. The second would be a popular holiday. In other words, it's an occasion for merrymaking, partying, some level of hospitality with friends and family, maybe the community. And really, it's none of my business, it's none of your business as to what people do or how they spend their money at this time. It's just a holiday, go out and have some fun. But the third thing called Christmas is unfortunately everyone's business. And it is called the commercial racket. Now, the buying and exchanging of presents, it was a very small thing, a very small ingredient in the older English festivity of Christmas. You didn't do a whole lot of it. The Reform, you guys remember Scrooge, the Reformed Scrooge. Once he was reformed, he gave a turkey to his clerk. Lovers sent love gifts, toys and fruit were given to children back in the day. But the idea that not only all friends, but all acquaintances should give one another gifts and presents, or at least send one another cards, that's quite modern. And it has been forced upon us by commercialization, right? Shopkeepers, Hallmark, as we say today. Now, neither of these circumstances in itself is condemning of the commercialized Christmas. But as I lament, I would like to condemn it on the following grounds. The first, the commercial kind of Christmas gives on the whole much more pain than pleasure. You have only to stay over Christmas with a family who seriously tries to keep up the commercial aspect of Christmas in order to see that it many times can be a nightmare. Long before December 25th, everyone is worn out, physically worn out by weeks of shopping and the struggle of overcrowded shops, mentally worn out by all the effort to set up the house and decorate with lights, remembering all the right recipients that you have to buy gifts for, and then remember what each person would like to have or what you think they would like to have. And folks are really in no mood for merrymaking, much less if they should want to take part in a church service. They look far more as if they had an illness in a house versus happiness and joy. Secondly, most of the commercialized Christmas is involuntary. The modern rule is that anyone can force you to give him or her a present by sending you an unprovoked present of his or her own. So it's almost blackmail, isn't it? I mean, who's not heard before people crying in despair and wailing and the resentment when at the last moment, just as everyone hoped the nuisance of the commercialized Christmas was over, for one more year it's almost over, the unwanted gift from the person you hardly know flops on the front porch. The doorbell rings, and now it means you must go through the dreadful process of going out and shopping for that person at the end of Christmas, probably with money you don't even have anymore. Thirdly, things are given as presents which no mortal ever bought for him or herself. Gaudy, useless many times, gadgets, novelties. And you'd never buy them because no one was ever fool enough to make them until such a time as this, right? So some people say it's mostly rubbish. And then finally is the nuisance of it all. After all, during this whole commercialized business, we still have our ordinary shopping and bill paying to do. We're told the whole dreary business must go on because it's good. It's good for the economy. It's good for trade. In fact, it's just merely one annual symptom of kind of this lunatic condition we have of our country and indeed the world, in which everyone lives by persuading everyone else to buy something. Now, I don't know the way out, but can it really be my duty to buy and receive masses of junk every winter just to help business? If worse comes to worse, I'd sooner give the business folks money for nothing and write it off as charity. And you may say, why would you do that for nothing? Well, it's better for nothing than for nuisance, right? Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, boy, Pastor Dave's cheese has finally fallen off his cracker. What a Scrooge. What a Scrooge. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. What I just recited to you, it was written by C.S. Lewis in 1953. Now, for those of you that don't know C.S. Lewis, he is the one who wrote the Narnia tales and Screwtape Letters and a whole bunch more, God on the Dock, which is where I got this little article from. He was an atheist who researched God and became a Christian. And, you know, he had a very high view of Christmas in regards to the celebration or remembrance of Christ's birth, but disregard for the commercialization part. I was laughing when I read the article years ago, and I pulled it off the shelf, and I reread it, and I was just laughing because I could see some of myself in there, because around Christmas time and those times, I get a little bit tense. I get a little bit uptight, and there's so many more things going on, and it is true. Someone could drop the gift off on your front porch, someone you don't even know, and now you go, uh-oh, I got to go out and buy them one in return. Could you see yourself in what C.S. Lewis said at all? People are tired this time of year. Do the research. They're ornery. They're cranky. They're They're worn out. They're broke. People fight over putting up the Christmas tree. I just talked to a friend last week who had to fight with his wife because they were trying to figure out how to put up the tree. All so we can look at the Wall Street Journal to see that buying was great for the season. And our stocks went up. And that Sears will stay in business for one more year. That when the neighbors arrive over to our house, families come over, they go, "Ooh, wow, look at those lights. Aren't they beautiful?" Divorce papers are about to be signed, but everything looks good. And not much about Jesus in any of that, right? Be honest. Not much about Jesus. So it's an interesting question to ask of ourselves. How much time do we spend with the commercial side of Christmas versus the Christ side of Christmas? We have an Advent book that was printed a second year in a row. It's a great book, and if you don't have a copy, we'll find a way to get it to you. But several of us have written, you know, little devotionals for each day to take us all the way through Advent. That's just one way to have Christ as part of your Advent season or Christmas. But how much time? Unfortunately, literally millions of people around the world celebrate Christmas without even knowing who Jesus is. They look at it as a party, and there's no Jesus. And unfortunately, millions of us who believe in Jesus put more time into the busyness of the season than we do spending time with Jesus. And I'm guilty as charged. Well, what does Christmas really mean to you? What does it really mean to you? As Christians, we should be prepared to answer that question. And we all should agree that the greatest of gifts, which you cannot buy, is Christ himself. But there are many aspects of what Christmas is, and especially on a spiritual level, what it can mean. So I would like to just talk about one aspect this morning. And then as you study the scripture on your own, you will find that there are many aspects to what we call Christmas. Even though Christmas isn't in the Bible, what we call Christmas, there's many aspects and spiritual meanings that we can get out of it. And as we get to know him better, those things will come to us where we can have a Christ-filled Christmas. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 34 through 38. And this is where Mary is talking to the angel, and the angel's saying, "Hey, you're gonna have a baby." And picking it up in verse 34, Mary says, "Well, how will this be? I mean, how am I going to have a baby?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And so I was reading this and studying it again, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Part of what Christmas means to me, now this is personally, but I want to share it with you because maybe it will kind of fill a space for you in regards to Christmas, is found in verse 37. Christmas means no word from God ever fails. I mean, did you see that in there? No word from God ever fails. I think we need to say it together. Ready? No word from God ever fails. Wow. Well, Christmas answers that. It's the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the proof is in the pudding, isn't it? When you're talking about some of those things, the proof's in the pudding. Well, God's word said in Isaiah 7:14, you might want to jot it down. I can't remember if I wrote these in the bulletin. Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Proof in the pudding. Isaiah 9, 6 and following says, a child will be born called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Micah 5, 2 tells us that from Bethlehem, one would come who would rule over Israel. And Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16 talks about God sending a branch or a sprout from King David's line, and the name by which he will be called is the Lord, our righteous Savior. Now, there are many more of God's words that describe Jesus, even his suffering and death in the Old Testament. None of those words of God failed. They all came true in Jesus Christ. I want to take a quick peek at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 33. And I'm not going to read the verses for you. I'm just tell you a little bit about the story, but you can jot that down and read it later on. Jesus was presented in the temple. Do you guys remember that? He was born, he was presented into the temple because every firstborn was to be consecrated and dedicated to God, every firstborn. And so Simeon was one of God's righteous men. He had the Holy Spirit upon him. He had been promised by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. Now, who knows what Simeon was thinking at the time? I mean, most likely a real old guy by then. He's walking around the temple. Okay, Lord, is this really going to happen? Am I really going to meet the Messiah? I'm old. I'm tired. I'm ready to rest at the bosom of Abraham in heaven. But Scripture also says Simeon was waiting. And what was he waiting for? He was waiting for two things. He was waiting for God's words to become reality. And then he was waiting to meet the Messiah. And so they both happened. No word from God ever fails. Ever fails. So God fulfilled his words at the birth of Christ, and then he continues to fulfill them today. Think about this. The Jewish folks, God had promised someone would come in the line of David, right? They're all waiting for that. They're all waiting. And finally it happens. Of course, there's more prophecies and all that sort of stuff going on in the Old Testament. But they all happen. God's word never fails. And we're kind of in the same boat, aren't we? Because Christ has come, and what does God's word tell us? Tells us that he will come again, doesn't it? And so we're in that next cycle where we're waiting for God's word to come true, because God does not lie, cannot lie, and his words will be fulfilled. Now I know Christmas is about God becoming one of us, incarnate. He became human. As Tim said this morning, he dwelt among us. It is the celebration of Christ's birth. It's the celebration of that long-awaited Messiah. That has happened, but now we're waiting again for God's word to come true. And it's about the start of something grand. It's something that allows us to live life to the fullest and so much more. But a big piece of Christmas is that God's word never fails. Do you have that in your head yet? God's word never fails. That means that if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. Because God's word said it. If you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Why? Because God said it. It's in his word, and it will happen. It means you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. It means that you will see the tree of life as you believe in Christ. It means that no man will come unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. And I could go on and on and on, because God's word never fails. You see, Christmas is a time where God reminds us that his word is active, it's alive, and his word never fails. There's a great theologian by the name of Judy Cutler. She wrote something about our closing song today. She said the words to the song that we're going to sing are so true that we should sing this song throughout the year. Even though some people go, what on earth are we singing? And why are we singing it here? And you know what's funny is Judy wrote that and I read that. I remember years ago in the summer, I took out this song. And we sang it and people were like, what on earth? Why would we be singing this song? Well, the joy that comes from our Lord's coming, she says, transcends any time of the year. Not only for Christ's birth, but for his coming into our hearts. We first believed, the first time we felt that Holy Spirit and his presence that surrounded us anew. And so we sing this song, Joy to the World, because God's word did not fail. Because in the town of David, a Savior was born, and he is the Messiah. He's our Lord. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. Judy's going to lead us in it. And while we're singing, maybe you have recognized today that maybe Christmas could be a little bit different. Maybe it could be a time of slowing down and saying, okay, I'm 80% commercialized here and 20% Jesus when it comes to Christmas. Is there a way we can flip that? Yeah, we want to buy gifts. That's fun. It's exciting. But is there any way that we can flip that so that we're really focusing on a Savior whose word always counts and is always fulfilled? Would you stand as we sing this song together?